From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, whoever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the predictions of John Hogue, expert on Nostradamus. But here's what's happening. After intense negotiations, BP bowed to President Barack Obama's demand for a $20 billion fund to compensate victims of this disastrous oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The chairman of the giant British company apologized to the American people for what he says the horrendous accident. BP is suspending its dividends to shareholders for the rest of this year to help pay for the costs. Gerald Celente with us. Gerald, this situation here, is it going to bankrupt BP? What do you think?
No, not at all. Not yet. They made $17 billion last year. And let's remember, George, they're talking about $20 billion, but it's only $5 billion a year over 4 years. And it also should be noted that the estimates, according to the Wall Street Journal, for the total costs to BP are going to be around $60 billion. That includes cleanup and damages.
And the money would have gone to shareholders in the form of dividends anyway, so there's a savings there for them.
Well, you know, there won't be a savings in any way at all. In some ways, yes, financially, but this devastation, you know, all the money in the world isn't going to be able to clean it up, despite President Obama's pledge to restore the Gulf to a more pristine level than it was before the disaster. It reminds me of George Bush standing in Jackson Square after Katrina and promising to rebuild New Orleans bigger and better than it was before.
You know, Gerald, it is truly just amazing how we're going through this economic mess that we've been talking with you about for such a long time. And then this happens. I mean, when does it end?
It's not going to end. This is just the beginning. Remember also, President Obama said that this spill is going to be gathered, 90% of it's going to be controlled by BP within the next few days or weeks. Well, that remains to be seen. We're going through the worst is yet to come. As we've said, the greatest depression is on the way, and war is looming on the horizon.
I think you're right. Gerald, thank you. Gerald Celente's website, trendsresearch.com, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. The Senate has approved a plan to give home buyers an extra 3 months to finish qualifying for federal tax initiatives that boosted home sales this spring. The move would give buyers until September 30th to complete their purchases and qualify for tax credits up to $8,000. Under the current terms, buyers had until April 30th to get a signed sales contract and until June 30th to complete the sale. That's all been extended now another 3 months. San Francisco moving a step closer to becoming the first city in the nation to require that retailers post in their stores notices on the level of radiation emitted by the cell phones they offer. The ordinance would not ban the sale of certain cell phones, but would require the retailers to provide the specific absorption rate, a measurement of radiation registered with the Federal Communications Commission, next to the phones displayed in their shops. Nick Begich with us. Nick, is that going to make a potential buyer look at that phone and say, I'm not going to buy it?
I think it's an important measure. In fact, the first time that issue came up for me was 11 years ago. I wrote an article for Explore magazine, and we had asked them to do exactly that, because right now, it's put on the inside of the packaging, and consumers really don't understand, you know, how much radiation, you know, is coming off of a cell phone. And some of the tests done by Dr. Carla, who actually worked for the industry at one point, show that even within the so-called safety ranges, there's, you know, a damage, chromosome damage over prolonged use of cell phones. So the amount of wattage per kilogram, which is what that SAR rating is all about, It's really looking at how much, you know, does the tissue absorb, and then the effect of that. And so, you know, and that's just in terms of heat transfer. But actually, when you look at, you know, resonance signals and the wavelength of the signal coming in, there's a lot of other studies that suggest even smaller amounts can affect us physiologically. So knowing the amount of energy, I think, is important for consumers. And then other things that are important, you know, in terms of outside packaging. So San Francisco saying, you know, let's post this. Mm-hmm. I think that's relevant, and consumers then can make, you know, more conservative decisions, and it creates competition in the market to get what I consider, and many of us consider, safer and safer phones, because consumers, I think, will make choices in balance, price, and safety in making product selection.
That's a good point. Thank you, Nick. And talking about phones, sale of Apple's latest iPhone blew away expectations despite an embarrassing order malfunction that turned away many would-be buyers, sending its shares nearly 3% higher. Apple said it sold more than, get this, 600,000 of its iPhone 4, a record for just a single day of pre-orders. That put the device on track to surpass sales of its previous iPhone, as well as its iPad tablet computer. Apple apologized for having to halt sales temporarily after the surprising volume of online interest overloaded order and approval systems, and the supplies just ran out. Exclusive U.S. carrier partner AT&T said the sales will resume as soon as inventory becomes available. People with plenty of a B vitamin in their blood appear to be at reduced risk of lung cancer, even if they smoke. According to a European study, high levels of vitamin B6 cut the risk by half. It's a study of 400,000 people. The federal government would have absolute power to shut down the internet under the terms of a new U.S. Senate bill being pushed by Senator Joe Lieberman, legislation which would hand President Obama a figurative kill switch to seize control of the World Wide Web in response to a Homeland Security directive. Lieberman has been pushing for government regulation of the internet for years under the guise of cybersecurity. But this new bill goes even further in handling emergency powers over to the feds, which then could be used to silence free speech under the pretext of a national emergency. Catherine Albrecht, is this going to happen or not?
Well, you know, they keep trying this over and over, George. We've talked about this multiple times here on the program as well. You've had me on when the last version of this by Feller and Olympia Snow was floated past. The reality is they're going to do anything in their power that they can to gain control over the most powerful information technology that's ever been developed in the history of humanity. I mean, the reality, the internet, if there's corruption going on, if there's something that people want to oppose or protest, where do they go these days? They don't head to the streets. They don't even head to Washington, D.C. so much anymore as they head online to become informed. And I think there's a real concern, as we've talked about many, many times here on the program, that as people become organized and as they become firmer in their opposition to an ever-encroaching federal government, I think there's a real worry that the internet may be the cyber threat of the future. It may be the civil liberties threat of the future. So that's why they keep pushing for these kinds of proposals. This particular proposal would actually impact me personally and very directly. As you know, I'm the marketing director for StartPage.com, right, the search engine alternative to Google. And written right into the provisions here, this would give the federal government the power to shut down broadband providers, search engines specifically mentioned, and software firms that the government selects, and they would have to, quote, immediately comply with any emergency measure or action developed by the Department of Homeland Security or be fined. And this is proposed as an amendment to the Homeland Security Act of 2002.
Well, stand by for this one, because if they're going to try to control us, they're definitely going to have to try to control the internet. That mystery fireball that smacked into Jupiter on June 3rd, identified as a giant meteor. Our feature story at coasttocoastam.com. The Kepler team. The orbiting telescope has now found 700 more objects in a far-off region of our galaxy that they say could be planets, raising in size as small as Earth to as large as Jupiter. 700 of them. In North Carolina, officials there have released a recording of a man describing a close encounter with a Bigfoot. His name's Tim Peeler, and he called 911, basically saying, hey, am I going to get in trouble if I shoot this creature? You've probably heard of Nobby back in the 70s. Nobby was the legendary Sasquatch that inhabited certain parts of that county, Cleveland County. So Tim Peeler's out there thinking that he might have seen a large beast that was messing around with his dogs. You ever try to do a meditation or a spell for positive change? Fiona Horn, the witch, she does.
Thank you. Psychic abilities are a divine gift bestowed on every human by the sacred source of life that has created all things to be connected.
In a moment, Fiona Horn joins us as we talk about spells on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Fiona Horn is known here in the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, as a leading expert on modern witchcraft. She is an accomplished television radio host, best-selling author, one of the world's most recognizable authors on white witchcraft. Fiona teaches us that witchcraft has many different paths, and Fiona knows that her nature-based spiritual craft helps her stay grounded. Here she is back on Coast to Coast. Fiona, how are you?
George, I'm wonderful, thank you. It's so great to be back.
You know, I hate having to just introduce you as a witch, but you are a witch.
I guess so. I mean, it's been a long time now, too. I look at witchcraft and my practice as a witch as something I am, not something I do. It permeates every facet of my life, so it's cool. You can call me a witch.
How's the ankle, by the way, after the skydiving episode?
Oh, gosh, you know, it's good. It's all healed. I celebrated the anniversary of that break by skydiving into the Blue Hole off the coast of Belize, and then I scuba dived it. And anyone out there who knows what the Blue Hole is, it's a beautiful natural sinkhole out in the middle of the ocean off the coast of Belize in Central America. So, you know, I didn't fly on a broomstick. I strapped a parachute onto my back and jumped out of a plane and celebrated the anniversary of my ankle getting better.
good for you. Tell me a little bit about spells and meditation.
I'm excited because I had the opportunity to record a CD where I could put the spells and meditations that I use in my daily practice and the practice that has spanned over two decades now, you know, onto a CD that everyone can listen to, you know, and that's my new CD, Magical Life. And really in creating the audio guide to this, I wanted people to understand that you can tap into an innate sense of empowerment within yourself that's on your own terms, that doesn't have to be a specific formula. It's about you understanding there is an inherent power in objects and things of the natural world, and there is an inherent positive power within yourself to create change. And when you can align your will with elements of the natural world, you can cast a spell. And so, you know, when I recorded this album, the things I say, you know, when I light my candles and I put my crystals together and I say certain words and I think certain things, I put it all onto a CD to share it with other people.
Fiona, there was a time that witchcraft was pretty popular in the movies. Now It seems to have taken
it's
a
vampires,
backseat.
George.
Yeah, vampires now. Werewolves, but everybody loves these vampires now, the romantic ones as well. Will the witches ever come back?
Well, you know, there's a really important, thing we have to acknowledge here, which is witches are real. Vampires and werewolves are not. I know there are subcultures out there that align themselves with a vampiric lifestyle, which, you know, is certainly, you know, something that I respect. But as far as a spiritual path, modern witchcraft is not something of fantasy and movies. It is a profoundly rewarding spiritual path that embraces, you know, many different traditions. As you said when you introduced me, you know, there's lots of different paths, and it's one of the fastest growing spiritual paths in the Western world. You're right. Like, once upon a time, you know, only, I guess, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was the craft, practical magic, there was charm, there was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you know, and where has it all gone? But it'll come back. I'm sure it will.
And Fiona, it's very important to distinguish the difference between what Hollywood has done with witches and what you do and you believe and you practice. Because what Hollywood has done is they have made people think that witchcraft, what you believe in, is black magic. That's not true.
Well, it's a good point that you bring up. I mean, the extreme depiction in the world of entertainment of witchcraft is black magic and Satanism, which is just not what we are or what we're about. Over, you know, the last two decades, and certainly in the last decade that I've had books published about the subject, I've seen a change, you know, a shift in awareness for the better.
understanding that modern witchcraft, again, is a spiritual path. It's not aligned with Satan or anything evil or demonic. That is a, you know, it's a depiction in the world of entertainment because it's dramatic and I guess it's exciting and thrilling. But it's entertainment. It's not reality. And I guess I have to say that there actually are a lot of depictions now of modern witches in mainstream entertainment that are more accurate and truthful. I'm just remembering a show that I did for the Sci-Fi Channel in the USA that it aired around the world. I played a witch. I was myself. It was a reality-oriented show, but we all know reality television is scripted to a degree now. I think everyone's aware of that. But that was an opportunity to depict, you know, what real witchcraft is, and that it's not about dressing up in fancy clothes necessarily. You can if you want, but it's certainly about being creative, about honoring yourself, honoring life, honoring each other, and again, like doing the spells and meditations and rituals that can affect positive change and make every moment of life meaningful. And I think in modern life we tend to kind of sometimes stumble along and get caught up in all the stress of, you know, iPhones and emails and, you know, getting from one place to another and all this craziness, and we don't take time out to just be and be in the moment and understand that we're part of a phenomenal natural world that lives and breathes and ebbs and flows, and the energy is there for us to experience and enjoy, and we can use it in a magical sense too.
Well, and you know, I know you wouldn't hurt a fly. You care about people, and that's not a Hollywood witch by any means.
No.
You've written at least, what, 9 books?
I know, George, 9 books. Isn't that, it's a lot, isn't it? One a year.
Where has the time flown?
I know. But you know what? I always say time is an illusion. It's a great thing, linear time. It's something that it's very convenient. Actually, one of the tracks on my new album, On Magical Life, talks about that. You know, linear time, it's something that helps us organize it and shape events. But when you're working magic, you're working between the worlds, and you're not bound by time, and you can experience infinity in a moment. And some people in life, you know, we think, oh, my gosh, you know, it's going to take so long, I mean, to make anything happen or to get to where we want to go. And I try and encourage people to realize that you can experience your dreams, your passions, your greatest hopes, desires in the moment. It's part of what making magic is. It's about understanding that the energy you imbue, or the feelings, I should say more accurately, the feelings that you have about your dreams, goals, and desires is the link to make them happen. And it's almost like you've got to get out of your own way, let your rational mind step aside, know where you want to go, know what you want to happen, don't decide how you have to get there, just make that statement to the universe. And, you know, you might want to light a few candles and, you know, move some crystals around in a sacred space and you know, a few other things as my spellcasting guide goes on the CD, but do these things and allow the universe to make it happen. And invariably it does.
What is the biggest difference, if there is one, between meditation and casting spells?
Really good point. Meditation is a conscious discipline where you don't necessarily, or you're not necessarily manipulating objects and things that are aligned with your goals. So say, for example, a meditation is something where, you know, certainly on the album, you know, like close your eyes, focus on this, visualize this in your mind, allow the sensations as you visualize your goal to permeate your body and recognize that. If you're doing a ritual or a spell, invariably you're lighting candles, you're using objects of the natural world or objects that are aligned with what you want. On an energetic level or on a visually representative or any sensory level, so they may smell like something or they may look like something. It helps. It's almost like when you put those objects together and you imbue the act with your will to create the change that you want, it's almost like you create a magnet that draws your goal to you or propels you towards your goal. Certainly the way I do it on Magical Life on the new album is I encourage people when they're doing the meditations to be in a very physically relaxed state without distraction. But if you're doing the rituals and spells, I'm telling you, go and get this color candle. Go and get, you know, a handful of salt. Go to the garden. allow your mind's eye to guide you, pick up an object from the garden that is going to be your talisman to work your magic with. So spellcasting and ritual work is usually a lot more interactive. Meditation is something that is more on the inside.
And you're doing a lot of work now as a psychic counselor. Let's talk about that when we come back. And we'll open up the phone lines. We'll give you an opportunity to talk with a real witch, Fiona Horn, next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, John Hogue joins us as we talk about predictions for the rest of this year and beyond. And when we come back, it's more with Fiona Horn, your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Fiona Horn. Fiona, you are also working as a psychic counselor. Tell me what you're doing there.
Well, for quite a few years now, I've been focusing a lot of my attention on counseling people using my psychic ability. I work with tarot cards, intuitive guides. Might sound crazy, but sometimes I hear voices. it was a big step for me to understand and allow that, energy to express itself through me and to trust it, and to trust that it wasn't my imagination, but that it was guidance coming from beyond me. When I do my counseling, I work with tarot cards, with intuitive guidance, and guides from beyond, and a lot of common practical sense. I always say to people, you know, you've got to act practically as well as magically, and sometimes the solutions in life are found not by wondering about what's going to happen in the future, but by focusing on the very steps you're taking today. I mean, Gloria Steinem said it best. She said the future is created by the steps we take today. And I really try and encourage my clients to understand that there is an inherent ability in all of us to, simply by focusing on the present, change our future for the better.
What do you like about it? What's fulfilling for you?
I love helping people. I feel, it's my birthday next week, George. I'm turning 44.
Happy birthday. 44.
Thank you. I love it. I always say we don't get older, we get better. But it really is about your perspective and your attitude. And I love sharing what I've learned in my journey up to this point, I guess, with my clients. And I feel I have a very personal relationship with them. It is rewarding because I love helping people enjoy their lives. One of the things, I guess, about being a modern witch is that as a witch, my spiritual life, my path encourages me to feel proud, empowered. There's no concept of original sin. There's no concept of evil necessarily. There is just life, and you can find the good in the bad. Even the bad things, the obstacles in life are there to help us grow and evolve. In this spiritual life, I guess, mm-hmm. that I express myself through, I feel that it's heaven's here on earth. I guess that's the simplest way to say it. Heaven is here on earth. And it's funny, people say to me, oh my gosh, you look so young, you can't believe it's turning 44. And, then they find out I'm a witch and they go, you do spells?
On yourself, right?
On myself to look young. What's your best spell? What's your most powerful spell? And I say, my life. My life is a work of magic. I really try to encourage people to understand that there's no singular recipe that's going to fix all your problems. You fix your problems. You trust yourself. You love yourself. You grow. You evolve. You try different things, you live your life to the fullest and take care of yourself, exercise a little practical common sense. I don't smoke.
You've got to be smart.
I enjoy jumping out of planes. I like to do exciting, adventurous things. I like to treat every day of my life as an adventure, even when it's a tough day. It's an opportunity to learn.
All right, let's go to some of the phones, and then I'm going to ask you some weird questions at the end.
Oh, okay, I like
it. By the way, what's your favorite track on your CD? I want to play that as we
Love the Psychic Intuition track. I almost felt like I should call it Psychic Intuition, and if you need to go to sleep, listen to this track in a good way, because it's so relaxing to listen to. But it does help. The Psychic Intuition track, I put that together to help people develop their psychic ability.
Okay, that's the one we played a little bit before the break. So we'll play that as we say goodnight tonight with you.
Lovely.
Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Colville, Washington. Reba, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Reba.
Well, hello, George, and
Hi.
Greetings, Fiona.
Hello, Reba. Lovely to hear from you.
I'm calling because I am having some real problems with a neighbor that has sued me once, and now they're taking me back into court. And I have very strong abilities of my own, but I have not been able to change the attitude of these people. I would like to know an affirmation that that may bring light not just to me, but to them also.
Reba, you know, I've got to tell you straight away, my guides told me to tell you something. You're focusing too much on what they do. It's almost like your considerable energy that you have yourself, your ability to manifest, you're focused so much on the harm they've caused you that it's almost like you're giving them additional energy. It's like you've plugged them into a power socket that's allowing that light to keep shining. That negative light, you know, that negative ability they have to affect your life. You need to pull away your attention from them. I would almost, this might sound extraordinary, but sometimes the best way to make something go away is by ignoring it. And I know that sounds like a challenging bit of advice, but my guides told me to tell you that. It's almost like you're fueling them and feeding them. I would just take a moment to understand that your focus and your attention to them is what's giving them the tools to intimidate you.
You don't train people to put hexes on other people, do you?
No, I don't think it works. I mean, energy, as you send out, so returns threefold, is part of one of the Wiccan reads, like the threefold law. As we send out, so returns. Jesus said, as you sow, so shall you reap. You know, there's and that's why I'm saying to Reba, like, she focuses too much on what she sees them as too powerful. She needs to relax her grip on them, and she doesn't need to change them. She needs to step away from them energetically.
What makes people so evil, Fiona? You know, like her neighbors, if they are.
It stuns me, George. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm surprised at how many people live such uninspired, numb lives.
Hateful.
They feel the only way that they can feel empowered is by creating drama and tension and negativity and sadness in other people's lives. And again, sometimes we have to really comprehend that the power that people have over us is the power we give them.
Absolutely.
And for Reba, I got to say, you know, she's listening there, is, you know, my guides are telling me, Reba, this is all going to end. So you just got to pull out the plug. I'd literally do it. My meditation for Reba would be literally to picture a power cord in the wall and pull it out.
Absolutely.
Pull out their power. They'll go away.
Let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. First time caller. It's Ryan. You're up with Fiona Horn. Ryan, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm very interested in this subject. I listen to your show just about every night for the last 6 months. I'm only 21.
Well, thank you.
I had two really quick questions for Fiona. How often do you sleep, and what is your diet based on? And please don't take that the wrong way. I'm just kind of curious.
Okay, that's fair enough. How often do you sleep?
Just how often do I sleep?
Sleep.
Sleep is in sleep.
Sleep. How many hours do you get?
It's interesting. You know, I don't always sleep more than, say, 6 or 7 hours a night. Sometimes 5 or 4. The guidance I get when I get that information, it doesn't come from, it doesn't come from being asleep. I don't hear it in my sleep necessarily. And with my dreams, I see them as more of a purging tool than an insight into the future. I'm not exactly sure what Ryan means when he asked me that, but,
He's tying it into your diet, too. He wants to know, generally, what you eat to stay so healthy.
Oh, I see. Okay. What do I eat to say? Well, I used to be vegan, vegetarian for many years. I got to tell you, I'm a meat eater now, George.
Really? How'd that happen?
One day my body decided that it was time, and I eat consciously.
Moderation.
I don't. And in a sense of understanding, there's an exchange of energies that goes on. But plants, animal matter, I consume both.
What has been the strangest request you've ever had? You've been asked as a witch.
Oh my goodness! Strangest
that you can talk about.
Oh, goodness. Sometimes people become absolutely fixated on the thought that someone has hexed them or caused them, cast a spell against
suffering.
Them to create, create suffering and loss in their lives. And they ask me to do a spell or something for them to take that away. And that is where you have a responsibility. I can do spells and rituals that I feel have a positive effect on addressing the imbalance of energies in someone's life when they feel that sort of thing is going on. But so very often it's a psychological situation where I need to get that person feeling less insecure and more confident and happy within themselves. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's true. If you can tap into a sense of feeling joy, and you know, I've got to say, it's on one of the tracks in the album. It's, if you're stuck in traffic and you feel like you're having a crappy day and you feel like you might be about to lose your job and you're wondering if your partner's having an affair and there's all this stuff coming down and you're buying into that drama and going down that the wormhole of all that fear, and you look out, take a moment to look outside and look at the sky and look at the clouds and just think about it for a second. You're a human being in this.
And it happens. You're going to have ups and downs.
And life has ups and downs. It's the ebb and flow of life. And that's one of the things in witchcraft we honor is our Bible is not written necessarily on pages in an ancient book. It's written in the patterns of the leaves and the rising and setting of the sun and the blooming and withering of flowers. And life ebbs and flows. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you find a way to love it. And if you if you are having a really hard time, finding a way to feel joy, because when you can connect with that joy, it tends to spread, it tends to permeate. And if you sit there withering away with bitterness, hatred, fear, insecurity, that tends to spread too. So sometimes it's as simple as just taking a moment to take care of yourself. And whether that means looking out of the car and looking at the sky and thinking, my goodness, life is quite amazing, or whether it's having a massage, or going and seeing a funny film. I mean, all these simple things in life we take for granted. As a witch, I see every act as empowered. Every act is having a resonating impression in our lives. And that's how I stay young, looking young. That's how I stay happy. That's how I find the lessons in the hard times and keep growing and experiencing life as an ever unfolding miracle.
Good for you. I have a simple slogan for myself too, and that's slow down, sip the wine, smell the roses. Simple as that.
Oh, that's gorgeous. And I love wine and roses, George. Just gorgeous.
Didn't get any from me this year, though, did you?
My favorite drinking substance.
Let's go to Dothan, Alabama. Josh, you're up with us. Go ahead, Josh. Welcome to the show.
My question I have two is I'm a 24-year-old atheist, and so I don't really faith, and mine's in two parts. One for me, an afterlife isn't even convenient or what I want, you know. It's I kind of want an end, you know, like, and time has to have meaning for me, and I can't imagine forever. And another one is, like you said, you don't have a written text or anything to rely on. It's just with most religions, people pick and choose, but it's hit and miss. And for me, I mean even Christians, I don't care what your faith is, everyone has a voice inside them that has an underlying doubt. I wonder, you know, how you deal with that.
Well, certainly, I'll say with your first point about heaven. You know, personally, I don't need to believe in a heaven to think this life's worth living. And what happens when I die? Well, guess what? I'm interested to find out. I'm a little different to some witches in the sense that I'm more spiritual than religious. Some witches, especially those that practice certain traditions of Wicca, like Gardnerian, Alexandrian, there are specific things written and specific texts and things that are adhered to and considered knowledge that an individual can embrace and absorb and build on. Me personally, I'm an eclectic witch. I draw from a number of different sources. And as far as my personal opinion, when we die, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out. Something will happen. Everything's energy. We'll see, you know. Having said that, I do have tangible experience of otherworldly phenomenon, which, I'm interested to see what happens when I actually die. It's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be quite a trip.
And you know, Fiona, if on the remote possibility, there's nothing on the other side, and I'll say remote possibility because mm-hmm. I believe there is, mm-hmm. you know what? It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
Because you're not going to know anyway.
That's why I kind of say to people now, stop treating this life like it's a rehearsal. It's not. This is it. This is it. Live your life. Love your life. This is it.
Josh, thanks for your call. Keep listening. Let's move on to a few more callers before we wrap it up. And Fiona's website, by the way, is linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. Her new CD, Magical Life, is on Meditations and Spells. Clay's in San Francisco. Clay, take it away.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just asking, is there any significance for the time 11/11?
No. You get into numbers like that at all, Fiona? I know.
I have to say I have rudimentary knowledge of numerology. I know a little about it. Certainly not enough to make an expert observation, but I do work with numbers, and I tend to be, it's funny, I might say I'm a little bit superstitious, but if I have the choice of gardening and picking, you know, 3 flowers or 7 flowers or 9 flowers from my garden, I do it with intention. And again, that makes my acts magical. To me, it makes them empowered and magical. Like I was cutting lavender in my garden, and I picked 11 pieces of lavender. And I put them into a container, and there was with intention to imbue my home with peace and to imbue my home with health for my partner and my 2 cats. So I do embrace numerology as a kind of more of a layperson than an expert.
Text in from Chris from Manhattan wants to know what you think of the Bible.
The Bible's an interesting read. I've read the whole thing. I've read a few versions of it, actually, being brought up Catholic and then sort of over the last, 24, 25 years of actively exploring modern witchcraft and looking at what else is out there. The Bible's an interesting story. I really enjoyed reading the Gospel of Mary. I don't know, George, it's probably a subject for another time. I'm sure someone on your show has talked about it, But some of these books that were taken out of the Bible at certain times of political and social and cultural evolution to suit the means and purposes of the individuals in power at the time, the Bible's an interesting phenomenon. Again, it's not fixed or static. It expresses itself based on the culture of the time. And certainly people find, look, there is some really great wisdom and guidance in there, but there's also a lot of, strategic manipulative stuff too that maybe doesn't really reflect the altruistic origins of it.
Fiona, they're still calling for you, but I want to play this last cut for you called Psychic Intuition from your CD Magical Life, which I assume people can get off your website.
Yes, they can. Thank you, George. They can go to my website. It's linked on Coast to Coast, and it's fionahorn.com, and there's an online store there that you can click on. And you can also download it from good old iTunes. Just type in my name, and it will come up. It's called Magical Life, okay. Guided Meditations and Spells for Positive Change.
Well, here we go. Thanks, Fiona.
Psychic abilities are a divine gift bestowed on every human by the sacred source of life that has created all things to be connected. You may have never opened this gift and enjoyed its blessings, but now you can by doing the following meditation. Your psychic powers will only increase the more you practice. Awakening your psychic ability will help you make the right choice.